Hey, fashionpreneurs, my name is Jess, and welcome to the Fashionpreneur Diaries. Hello, welcome to entry 9 of the Fashionpreneur Diaries. I am here, Jess, as your host for today, and I have somebody very special here with me, a great friend of mine. We met through business, but at this point, a good friend of mine here in LA, where it's hard to find great organic relationships that are like homegrown. So I'm gonna just let you introduce yourself.
Oh my God, you put the pressure on me. What's good, everybody? I'm Dutch, celebrity wardrobe stylist, hat connoisseur, hat guru, if you want to call me that. From Chicago, here in LA, been in LA for 4 years now. Yeah, met Jess through business, as she said, and ever since I met her, from the jump, I loved her. Her energy is great. I love what she's doing in the fashion industry.
Love what you're doing.
And she's just making a way for young black entrepreneurs.
Yeah, so it was only right that I bring the great Dutch here. We are both wearing his brand, so if you're watching on YouTube right now, you can see our Rich Auntie tees. He didn't know I was wearing my tee.
Yeah, she surprised
me. But he has hoodie on. I bought this shirt from him like a few months ago. It's my favorite t-shirt because I am that auntie. Now, I'm not rich yet, but it's a mindset.
It's the mindset, yes. I tell people all the time, the mindset of you being rich, meaning like you wake up every day with good energy, you have positive people around you, you're working hard, you're consistent, you're dedicated to what it is that you do, you're putting out good things in the universe. So therefore, it's not about having the wealth of being rich. It's about the lifestyle that you live and that you want to attain and accomplish. So,
yeah.
And it also came from another situation, the way that I came up with it, but we're going to get into that later.
You might as well tell us now. Let's get into it.
So I have a best friend. She's had a baby, I want to say a year ago, and they had a baby birthday party. And of course, I'm like the one that shows up in a fur coat and a hat and a bag.
Yes.
And so somebody was like, who are you? I said, I'm the rich auntie. And from that, it just became like a thing. It was like my little tagline, I'm the rich auntie. And then I just put on a shirt one day and they blew my Instagram up. And I was like, well, let's get this money.
That's definitely me on Thanksgiving, getting dressed to go to the couch. Like,
going right to the living room. Nowhere.
Jewelry. I don't have children yet. So I am that auntie. I have a nephew. So I come in with that energy.
Yeah.
And when I go pick him up, I picked him up from school last year one day. And I remember like everybody looked at me like I was just so crazy. I was dressed. I'm like, oh, I'm that auntie.
But
I'm
I feel as though getting dressed is like every day. You have to put clothes on every day. So my clothes might be a little bit more elaborate than some, but I still have to put clothes on. So therefore, you step your wardrobe up.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean you have to spend $1 million on it. It means
feel great.
Let me tell you something about these jeans I got from Fox Hills Mall 2 weeks ago for $19. Okay. Like, you can go high and low. You can go very low for the whole outfit.
Like, the Polo Classic outfit I wore was $50. Whole suit. The shoes was like $30.
And
so my whole look was
bomb.
Under $100. And I got the energy that came from that suit when I walked into the Classic was like, who are you? Like, where you get the suit from? Like, what's going on? I was like, if only you knew this came from the swap meet.
Period.
And you would never know. Got a tailor for $5. So we was good.
So you know my best friend, Brittany.
I do.
Yeah. So with Brittany, I remember she just finished up her big conference, Project Beauty, back in September. And I told her, I was like, every time we do Project Beauty, every time you do it, you always just put yourself last. Like, you don't have your vision for your looks. You always just throw on a suit, like, that you get, like, a week before. I want to style you. Yeah. And I don't really style people. Like, I style my friends. They always ask me to help them get dressed. And every time I style them, it's a memorable look. Like, they get compliments. They love it. So I was like, look, I'm going to pick out your looks because you are the founder of Project Beauty.
Yeah,
and I don't think people realize how much it affects, like, your career, like your style can affect how you portray your whole business to
and
the world.
And it also can affect how people respect you as the CEO or the manager or the president. Like, if you come in a t-shirt and jeans, it's like, oh, you can't own this company.
Right.
Even though you might do own several companies, but it's like, they won't give you that respect if you can't get suited and booted and ready for the day.
Yep.
So it's like, I tell people all the time, I get dressed every day. I don't care. I can go to Chipotle. I can go to the corner store. I can go to happy hour. I'm just dressed, and it's not me getting dressed for the people. It's like, this is just me. This is how I like.
My
grandma raised me to every day be dressed. Mm-hmm. You might fall out in the street. They might have to cut your clothes off. Make sure you got on clean underwear. Make sure everything is together. So it's like, that was instilled in me growing up to make sure that when I leave the house, I'm representing my grandmother. So it's like, that's just the way that I live and the way that I do my thing.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, for me, I don't get dressed every day at all.
But when you do get dressed, it's like,
oh, when I get dressed, I get dressed.
She cuts up.
Monday through Friday, you might catch me in sweats, but we actually, within Irregular Exposure, our staff, I had to like have a team meeting, and I was like, y'all, we're going to a next level. That means that we can't come in with flip-flops and slides on anymore. We can't come in with jeans and tee. Like, we're going to a new level. So I need everybody to represent that level. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big, big believer in whatever you visualize will become your truth and your purpose. So if you come in dressed like $1 million, you will be a millionaire with $1 million. If you come in an hour earlier for your shift just to get started and organized, it will show within your work. So that's the vision that we're instilling right now within my company. Like, it's a requirement that we all come in a certain way. Yeah. And Friday is like our dress down day in a sense. But I even put it on myself. Like, so now it sets the bar for me. So when I want to come in sweats, it's like, oh no, I got to get up an hour earlier just to make sure that I look the part of what Irregular Exposure represents and the Fashionpreneur Academy and all my businesses, because I'm a representation of that.
See, with that, I feel as though I understand. I totally get where you're coming from. But I also tell people, you can come in sweats, but dress it up.
Oh, yeah.
Sweatpants, a cute white blouse, a blazer, pair of pumps. You're comfortable. Yeah. You're still in your sweats.
Yeah.
But you have a little bit more oomph to it. You have a little bit more style to it. So I always tell my clients, if you're going to come out in your onesie, put on some heels. Throw the jacket on top. Like, let's make it a look.
Let's make it a look.
Don't just come out the house with your one piece on it and it's like, where you going?
Let's make
it cute at least. Let's put some effort behind it. Let's make it not look like it was what you was doing. Let's make it look like it was just, okay, I just got cute for the day.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, but I understand, because I get dressed just to go anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
But then I do have my days. I will repeat the same little Aaron outfit. My little camo shorts, a little flannel, Jordans. But everybody be like, oh my God, you look so good.
Yeah, your Aaron outfits are not, come on now. When you came in, I bought this shirt from you, I remember you coming in, you had on J's, you had on shorts, but it was a look. And you was like, oh, I'm just running around. I'm like, okay, does your run around look? Well, help me. So getting into all these looks and everything that you do, I wanted to know, how did you even begin styling? Like, what is the story? What's the history on that?
The backstory. Okay. Yeah. So growing up, my grandmother raised me, and it was always like, every weekend we would go to Forest City. It was this big mall in Chicago. We go to Forest City, we would go to JCPenney, Sears, Carson's, and she would give us a limit to spend like $500. And we just like shop. And my brother, he was one of those guys. He was like, he needed the name brand. He needed like the latest. I was like, what is a clearance rack? I want to get more for my buck. So if I got $500, I want to get at least 2 pairs of shoes, 4 pairs of jeans, a couple jackets, some tees. Like, I want to come back home with bags and not 2 things, because I spent it all because it was most expensive. So I just learned growing up how to alter my money and budget my money to make it look like I had a lot of money, and it looked like I was well dressed a lot. So I end up going to school, high school. I did culinary arts.
Okay.
Wanted to do fashion, but they end up taking the program out. So I was like, well, I'm gonna go to college. But coming to college, it was like $90,000 to go to the art institute.
Yep.
And I was like, I don't want to pay for styling, man. I don't want to take out loan. So I end up quitting my job at the post office, and I moved to New York. My sister read me a story like, Madonna moved to New York with $34 from Michigan. You can do it. I said, girl, I got $2,000. Never been to New York in my life. I moved to stay with a friend, and I just started like hustling, working, got a little job, and then I just started assisting like different stylists, different photographers, different art directors, just to build my name, build my portfolio. In New York, running around, making my name, making my brand, started dressing, of course. And then went back home. I got signed to an agency in Chicago.
That's awesome.
So it was like, I kind of left wanting to do design because it was just too tedious. I didn't want to sit in the house all day at a machine. I didn't want to cut patterns. So I'm like, what's the next best thing? And this was before it became a wave of, oh, I'm a stylist.
Yeah.
So I went back home, got signed to an agency, which they still represent me now. It's called Factor. So from now, I was just like being booked for different jobs. I did Target. I did Walmart. I did Sears. I did all the little catalogs that come to your house with like the little nursing scrubs on it. I did all of that. So it was like, okay, this is cool. And it made a lot of money. It was like legit. I would be on set for 10 hours, but I would make buku money.
Yeah.
So, fast forward, end up one day, my homegirls was like, well, we moving to LA. I said, y'all moving to LA for what? Cause I'm not going. I'm like, I hate LA. Like, I'm not going to LA. They was like, well, the lease is up in a month. Like, we gotta be out of here. So what you gonna do? I was like, I'm gonna stay here. I'm gonna go back to New York. Come the day they was leaving, I sent my bad ticket. I bought a one-way ticket. I flew out. I got off the plane. I had a job. Interviewed that day. Got the job at Karen Millen as a manager. I was there for 3 months. Got fired. I went to work with Tony Cole from NYX Cosmetics. Got fired on Christmas. Well, the day before Christmas.
Oh.
And then I started Gucci in January of 2017. It was cute, but hated it. There was not, I didn't come to LA to like work for somebody. I was like really mad. I was in a place of being discouraged, being, I wouldn't say depressed, but just like, I wasn't fulfilling what I came here for because I was working for somebody else. It was so expensive to live here. I was trying to get my feet wet. Come here when nobody knew me. So it was like, oh, I'm a stylist, but then no one knows you. So it's like, are you really a stylist?
Yeah.
So it was like that little battle. Yeah. Then I ended up left Gucci, went to Chanel, was at Chanel for a year. And one day I was like, I'm not going back to work for lunch. And I didn't go back. And I just started pushing the look. And the look was like something I started off of when I went to brunch. I bought this hat and I posted it and everybody was like, this hat. I was like, oh. So mind you, I always tell people, me and Kris Jenner have our birthdays 3 days apart. Mm-hmm. And the way that she comes up with the way that they move and how they get this money, I was like, oh, y'all want this hat. So I sat down with a notebook. I wrote the name, the lookout. I sent it a couple of my friends. What you think about this? Like, what's your ideas? Everybody was like, I like it. You should put it out. I bought the hat, went back and got the hat in like four other colors, made a little website on, Big Cartel.
Yep.
Put it out. The hat, I want to say I sold like four hats the first month. So of course you're thinking like, okay, it's going to be popping. Everybody want it. But once you put it out, it's like,
you have to wait. It's crickets.
Right. So I want to say I was still working at Gucci and I wasn't consistent with it and I wasn't like promoting it. I was just like, it was extra money at the time. And so I want to say I end up buying this yellow hat that's like the most popular hat that I have. That was like the thing for the summer. This one girl, she wore it to the Roots picnic. And that day I got at least 50 orders. And from there, I was like, oh, it's go time. I was just consistent. I was posting. I was out every day going to brunch, going to happy hour just to take pictures so I can post and people would see me out. Where you get the hat from? The look. Where you get the hat from? The look. And so from there, it just built itself. And I walked away from Chanel in August. And I've been doing this for the past 2.5 years.
That is awesome. I remember like when I first saw you on my timeline, I was like, who is this amazingly dressed man with these hats on? So to hear the history on, I think it's amazing. And you hit on a few different gems there. So for somebody that is an aspiring stylist, that you mentioned that, you know, you had an agency. And I know that shout out to Kelsey Ashley, another good friend of both of us.
She goes crazy. She goes crazy.
Yes.
Shout out to Robert Queen, too, because he goes crazy, too. Them together, us together.
Yeah, all three of y'all together. Listen, I love all three of y'all. Y'all should have saw them at the retreat last year. They came in dressed to the nines. Like, and they'll be back again, of course.
Dressed to the nines.
But, like, y'all three are absolutely phenomenal. One thing about Kelsey I love is that she always has made sure that she had management as well.
Yeah.
So tell me, as a new stylist, what role does management play in the process? And do you feel like it's beneficial for a new stylist to go the management route or to go independently?
My thing would be this. So what I did in Chicago, when I went back to Chicago, Chicago's a market of business, such as corporate businesses. Fashion really is not a thing. It was like, we have like street brands. But such as like my style was always one of the people like, oh, dope. Dutch is dressing. He dressed real. He dressed dope. He's super raw. This, then, and there's like, I always had my own lane. And so with the agency, it was more for me to get bigger jobs and to get publications.
Got you.
Everything that I did creatively, like the wild stuff that I would come up with, I would just do it on my own. I had a team of like photographers and hairstylists and makeup artists. And my homegirls, like, they was models with agency. So I was like, well, we can just shoot. I would go to like not Target, but like H&M and Zara and buy a bunch of clothes, like style it, take it back. And I built my portfolio off of that. And so once it was time for me to get with the agency, I had my portfolio ready.
Gotcha.
So I had a book to present them. So I would say build your portfolio before you go to an agency because they will want to see what you can do. Because you can't just go in and say I'm a stylist and be like, so there's a portfolio.
Right. And today, in today's age, like we were just talking about before we even started the podcast, you can put anything in your bio and say you're anything. And people will literally go for it without testimonials, results. And I think it's important, everybody that's listening to this and watching, you have to understand to do your research. Like, we can't just go off what people say anymore. And last night I was having a conversation with Mr. Will Casanova over here, and we were talking about, we were at dinner and I was like, you know, I'm just a person that I believe in action. Like, no, we were talking about what somebody has said. One of my friends, I had a potential friend I was supposed to hang out with last night. And Will was like, well, that's not what was said. That's not what he said. And I'm like, look, I go off action, what you do. So for me, I'm a visual learner and I just go off of action. So when you say something, it just doesn't catch me. It doesn't trigger me.
No.
And it's not that I have a trust barrier. It's more so I just want to see the result. And with me, everybody starts at a neutral level with trust. Yeah. Every business starts at a neutral level with trust. Once you go up or down within that gauge, it's over. So I feel like I love that you've been doing this before social media before changed Instagram the algorithm, was popping. It was before all of that.
It was when like Twitter was a thing,
yeah,
and Facebook was a thing. So it was like I started this journey in like 2009.
Yeah, and Facebook is coming back. It's in the ranks. It's like number one again. Yeah, and YouTube, is like we were talking about, YouTube is number one for search engines now.
Yeah.
So it's like it's so many resources that makes it a lot easier. And we're not saying we don't want, you know, people to come in and be and say they are something. We just want to make sure that it's reputable and that people are going in the right direction.
I tell people all the time, I'm not easily persuaded and easily influenced. So I'm like, if you say, oh, I work with Oprah. Cute.
Cool.
I get it. Where's the credentials? Let me see the receipts.
Yep. Yep.
I don't care what you do and who you work for. Let me see it. I'm a visual person. I'm a visual learner. So it's like, I'm hands on when it comes to a lot of things. So if I say, oh, I style Halle Berry, and most people are like, so where's the pictures?
Yep.
Oh, I don't have any. So why are you telling me that you style her?
Just hit on something so important.
Like I don't tell me what you do. I like to just see it. Like I tell people all the time, oh, what do? I play in clothes. Go to my Instagram. This is my basically my business card. My link is in my bio. Yep. You can see my website. You can see all of my public work. You can just like legit Google me and like really see what I got into. So at the end of the day, I'm not going to just be around like, oh, I do this, I do that. I just rather you see it than you.
And I think that's how it should be. Like, I think the work should always speak. And somebody else I love, do you know, Patience Foster? Yes. Public relations. I love about her that like on her page, she manages like, well, she does the public relations for so many great brands and people, including like Cardi B, Hennessy, all these people.
Yeah.
And I love that like it's not a lot of talking. It's always doing. Like every time she puts up a post on her page, it's the finished product of a huge project.
Yeah.
And it's to the point where it's like, where do I sign up? It's like the work speaks for itself. So shout out to Patience. Love her.
Yeah, she's
insane. But I say all that to say as well, I have a client. Well, I had a client within the Fashionpreneur Academy like last year. And I remember him telling me he went to church one day and he met somebody that worked with Oprah. That's why it's so funny you said this story. This woman worked with Oprah and she was some type of coach or something or public relations specialist. And she was like, you know, my rate is usually $5,000 a month, but for you, God is telling me to give it to you for $1,000. So there's a lot of manipulation, especially spiritual manipulation within the season as well. And, you know, I'm a God fearing woman. And I think it's very important that you watch the way that you portray that. Like I used to even, have every single week within my mailing list, I was in a prayer every week. And then I decided to preserve that. So I stopped doing it. And it's not that I don't want people to get the prayers. I want to know who I'm praying for, because again, you can say you're anything. So I want to know who I'm praying for differently. So back to the story though. He told me he met this lady. She was like, oh, my rate is $5,000 a month, but I'm just going to give you this huge discount of $1,000. And I said, well, that's a red flag that she's willing to discount her services. $4,000. And I said, well, he said, you know, this is just a blessing. I'm like, okay, well, can you ask her? Can I see her portfolio? Can I see examples of her media kit, press kit? These are things that publicists should have.
Yeah.
Like if you do this for all your clients, I just want to see one. That's all I'm asking for. He asked for it. She never responded to this day. Never responded. So anybody can say anything. And guys, we're in a season of people getting ripped off and scammed. So you have to watch that.
Listen,
that's a whole nother episode. But with the look, I know that you started, like you said, literally out of a place of you knowing what your goals were. You knew that you wanted to have this amazing brand, and it's amazing. I love what you created with the look.
Thank you.
So how did you become inspired to even develop a brand while also being a stylist? Because you basically have multiple businesses in one.
Yeah.
So how did you know that you wanted to also sell product as a stylist?
Well, I always wanted to. I'm a hustler. I would get it by any means. That's just how I was raised. I got it out the mud.
Yeah.
I did lashes before. Mm-hmm. I did all kind of stuff just to get a bag. Like,
yeah.
I had an apartment. I had to pay rent. I had a car. No, I had to pay insurance. So it was like, I will leave a job in retail in a heartbeat and be like, okay, let me step my hustle. Mm-hmm. I did lash extensions for a year. That was the most money I ever made in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, lashes.
Like, oh, I was going off. So it's like I was getting to it. But Yeah, so I feel as though with me styling and wanting to sell product, I always wanted to have a boutique, but I just didn't know how to go about it and having the resources of it. So I was like, well, I'm here in LA. The garment dish is right here. It's in my back door. So why not take advantage of this? So one day I was going to brunch. I didn't have a haircut. I was like, I need to buy a hat. I bought a hat and I put it on. It became like a thing. And I was like, okay, this might be my niche.
Yes, that is the way you want
and
to
so
go.
And so once I started pursuing the look full time, it was like, every day is a hat. Every day is a hat. Then I was like, let's step it up. Cause people like the way I dress. Okay. Yeah. Let me get y'all these looks. Don't just be taking my ideas. Let me source it for you.
Yeah.
So yeah, I started to go, started to shop in the wholesale district, started to buy stuff, resell it, take pictures. So every time I would like do a shoot, I would just step it up more. Mm-hmm. Like I look up to you, of course, like you goes crazy with your pieces.
Thank you.
I look up to Lori Swain. Yes. She's like the
good friend.
She's the marketing goat.
What?
Listen, she goes crazy. I look up to, my girl, her name is Lily Kimetria in Texas. Mm-hmm. She has Lily's Closet.
I love Lily.
That's my babe. She goes off. And even, what's her name? John Ice?
Yes.
She snaps too. So it's like, I look up to those girls because they're consistent. They're consistent. Their creative minds is always working. They're always putting out heat. The girls are always shopping. So it's like, let me be that, but in a sense of a male form.
Yeah.
But my brand is also based on almost no gender, so I want pieces for everybody.
Yes, that's what I love about your brand.
I want it to be straight, like, oh, it's a woman's. If you can fit it, you can wear it. Wear it. Like, because I wear everything. I put everything on.
Yeah.
So it was because of that. It was like, okay, I want it to be just a piece for everybody.
Yeah.
And it's called the look. Like, you have that one piece in your closet. It's like, oh, I wish I had these jeans to go with this. Or I wish I had this jacket to go with that. Go to the look.
And that shows your real, true gift of being a stylist, I feel, with you specializing in hats, because like there's so many boutiques out there and so many people that just come down here to these districts and just start buying bargain stuff and putting it online. Like, it's so easy and accessible now. But I love that you focused in on like that one niche product. And of course you have shirts and everything now, but like you started with that one product. And I always try to tell my clients the importance of focusing on that one niche market within your products that you put out. So I love that you did that. Now, with that being said, I know we mentioned a lot of people. We talked about Lori, Patience, Kelsey, Robert. This just goes to show our relationships. We have a lot of relationships in common.
Yeah.
And I know we just met last year, but we had so many relationships in common as well. Tell me, with you also being now a LA resident like myself and us being from, you know, inner cities that are completely different from LA.
Completely.
How important are relationships for you for your growth?
I feel as though relationships in any industry, any part of your life is important. My thing is this, my grandma always told me, you treat everybody the same way. You treat the janitor the same way, the CEO the same way. So if you come to me respectful and you're consistent and you're giving me energy, like a good energy that I can vibe off, is like, okay, I can rock with you.
Yeah.
You do some fraud stuff, it's like, I can't move with you.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna be like, oh, I don't rock with you. I'm just distant myself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I met you through Kelsey and Robin. It was like, I like this girl. Like, I rock with her. Like, she's business savvy. She works every day. She's consistent. She's on it. She's black. She's young. She's from a rough city such as I am from Chicago. So it's like, I like stuff like that. Like, I feel as though we're relatable.
Very.
And it wasn't like, oh
let's
I can't
go
talk
have
to
tea
you. Right. No.
Let's
you was
talk
like,
to
oh, come to the showroom. Let's swing. Let's chat. Let's get it working. So it's like little stuff like that is what I bond off and what keep my relationships going. Such as the Lord, she always from the jump showed me nothing but love, nothing but consistency, nothing but just true, genuine, like mentorship in a way.
Yep.
Even with Robert, Kelsey, met them, it's always been consistent, always been the same. So it's like, until this day, if you haven't switched up on me, we good.
Yeah.
Like, we're good in my book. You ain't messing with my money, we good.
Right. And so, I think within like building within this business, I think also people, I've done it myself. Like, we look where we feel like, okay, well, I'm not where I want to be. So let me see who is where I want to be. And we slide in a DM and we try to connect. But I think it's so important that you're ready. Like you talked about previously with having your portfolio, having your website, your social media is your business card. Like, I used to walk around with business cards. I haven't walked around with a business card in the last 2 years. I send everybody to my social and it does the talking for you. It's actually the best form of a digital business
card. It's so convenient because at the end of the day, if you don't have a smartphone, I don't know what stage are you living in. Secondly, I used to go to New York Fashion Week all the time and I would get all these business cards and I would get home and be like, I don't even know who these people
are.
And I'm on the train cleaning my nails. I'm probably popping a lock with them, doing all kinds of crazy things. So it's like, I have a bunch of business cards. So it's like, I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah.
So therefore, I really tell people, like, I love Instagram. I love social media. Mm-hmm. I would be on that all day long. I'm getting to my coins. I'm working. I'm posting. I'm making some little jokes, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like, I like Instagram because one, it's a digital platform for you to connect with people that's like-minded. It's for you to see who's really working and who's really not. It's basically the resume for most people that you meet.
It's your digital resume.
So it's like, you have the link in the bio. Boom. You can go on there, see their bio. You can see their work, email, phone number, whatever the case may be. Instead of seeing a car and you forget who it come from.
Yeah. I think I actually now appreciate more social. And I actually have this new life hack I've created on social media for myself. So whenever I see somebody I want to network with, I now save it in my collections on Instagram. Yep. So I have a whole collection just for networking.
Yeah.
And it has everybody I want to connect with. And I don't just go for people that have huge following and things that. I go on LinkedIn and I'll find the person responsible for marketing within certain companies or, just the public relations specialist within certain companies. Find their Instagram, save them, and then I'll connect with them in DM.
And the gag is people with all those big followings. It's like, you have this big following, but what are you really doing?
Yeah.
I tell people all the time, like, oh, y'all only got 4,000 followers. I say, you got 4,000 followers, but if you got the right people following you, you good. I'm only at 15K, but I got the right girls watching me.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, I'm not pressed to that. I need a million followers, 30K followers.
It doesn't matter.
My 15K, they show out for me.
They
go through, so it's like, I'm good off that. And at the end of the day, if Instagram can delete today or tomorrow, I'm still going to be who I am.
Yep.
So this doesn't define me. Yeah, it helps me and it helps my business flourish. But at the end of the day, Dutch would still be Dutch. The look would still be the look. Slay by Dutch would be Slay by Dutch. The rich auntie would still be here.
Yep.
So at the end of the day, I'm not pressed on a follower. Half the time, that million followers don't even shop. So therefore, I didn't send you product for no reason.
Hey, sorry to interrupt, but I would like to invite you to my Digital Mixer Masterclass. We are talking all about marketing as a fashionpreneur. If you are a boutique owner, a designer, a stylist, you need to be in this class today. You'll be able to take notes, see visuals, take your screenshots. You're going to need this information for the long haul. So I will see you today in class. All you need to do is visit thefashionpreneuracademy.com and register for class. You'll get the link immediately in your email. So I'll see you in class today. Hey, let's get it. Well, you saw the influencer that sold, like, I mean, she had like over a million followers and sold like one shirt or something crazy. And then on top of that, for me to be my own case study this week, Instagram banned me. Like, I haven't been able to post.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah, I'm in Insta jail. I think it ends tonight. I don't know when it ends. So I'm in Insta jail right now. Last week, I decided they really, really are. But it also is a true testament to what you were just saying about the following and everything. So I have a good follow. I have like 36K followers on my page. I think it is. And, with me, I was following like 1,500 people, and a lot of them are people that don't contribute, at least on the timeline, they weren't contributing to my growth or my positive energy. Mm-hmm, and not even just like, these are people that are friends and family.
Yeah,
but sometimes your homegirl can post negativity, and it's not even, it's more so, I just don't want to follow you on Instagram.
It's so funny. I had this one boy from back home.
Yeah.
I know him personally. And his story would just be all over the place, fighting and like drinking.
Yeah, I don't want to see that.
I'm like, this is a hindrance to my what I got going on. So I unfollowed him. He hit me like, why are you unfollowing me? I said, don't take it personal. It's Instagram. I said, what you're posting is not benefiting me. This is not helping my creative mind. This is not helping my solitude. This is not helping me think straight. Like, I'm seeing this and I'm like, why?
Like, I unfollow friends of mine, and I had to tell them, like, yo, it's y'all be cool. Like, it's Instagram.
Sorry,
it's an app.
That.
It's an app, y'all. It's an app. In the real world, I love you, but I also know that I don't want to see profanity, drinking all day, smoking all day, chilling all day, doing nothing beneficial.
Because that ain't gonna do nothing but bring your energy down. So it's like, if I'm not watching you and some of the people we name getting it and posting great things. I don't want to see this nonsense. I don't want to see your baby. I don't want to see you and your kids and your baby daddy and all of this. I legit want to
see
working individuals.
Because that's where you
hustling.
Are in life, though.
Right.
And so you know, like, one thing I love about Allori, you mentioned Allori. Allori follows both of her business pages. That's it. Allori don't follow none of us.
She's
love her.
But she watch everything.
Oh, she watch everything. She comes, she always messages me, just keep going, do your thing.
No,
da, da,
that's
da.
My girl.
But like, you can live your life that way. So I'm still not done unfollowing people. I'm not done.
No. Oh, every day
Instagram blocked me. So like I went through manually and I was going through like, let me audit my following and make sure I'm looking at positivity. And let me make sure that I'm viewing everything that's feasible for my growth. Like I blocked pages like Shade Room, like certain blogs, I blocked it just so I can't even see it. Mm-hmm. Like, cause certain stuff you can unfollow it and it still comes up on your explore page. Yeah. I don't want to see it at all.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? Let me go through. I clean out my page. I unfollow like 1200 people in like an hour.
Ooh.
Instagram blocks me, thinks that I'm like a bot. So it blocked me for a week. So I can't post on my page. I can still go live. I can post on my Insta stories. I can't comment, but I can like comments. So I'm like, okay, I'm really restricted right now. So it's been about a week so far. When I tell you this has been a great week, and I thought I was going to be so worried, like, oh my God, I can't post. Well, guys, the thing about social media is that it's a marketing agency at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So I'm running ads. My following has gone up crazy. My engagement has only increased with no posts. So it showed the power of not necessarily being so active on social media. I haven't been on my app all day on the phone. I haven't been begging to comment, and I still have business profiles. So I have ads running. So my business has actually, this has been a great week in business. As far as growth,
this is a great
sales,
day in business for me. I was like, ooh, let me.
Don't you love when you wake up and that Shopify go ting, ting?
Oh, I like to hit the little change drop.
Makes my morning.
On Black Friday, I had a thing on that thing. Be like, the lottery ball be hitting. I'd be like, okay.
Like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
It'd be good.
Thank you for the blessing. So, yeah, that's where I was at this week. I was like, dang, I'm not going to be able to post. I have two collections that dropped yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I announced the Fashionpreneur Academy speakers. I did all these different things. And I'm like, I have no post to show. And it's none of it affected anything. So it goes to show that social media is really a pay to play platform and not necessarily a post to be active platform.
It's
like
so
you
funny,
don't have to post.
Cause I posted this thing on my story the other day and it was like, I love social media. If you think it was like, yeah, I love social media. If you think social media is childish, you're just miserable because you're not making any money from it or something like that. I said, well, listen, I love Instagram. Well, listen, I make money on here. I can do a little joke on here.
Uh-huh.
I can post a cute picture on here and I go about my business. So it's like, for those that see people like, oh, you're on Instagram too much or you're doing this too much. Because you're not getting to it?
Yeah. Like I chose to use it differently than you. And I choose to use it as a business platform instead of a social page for me to waste my time and just scroll and look at
people's
lives.
I tell people it's like an office to me. I wake up, I do my little prayer, I do my little sage and get my tea, and I go into the office.
Mm-hmm.
Post, check the DM, reply to comments, check the emails.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's an office. So at the end of the day, it works when you have a business and you have a lucrative business.
Yeah.
If you don't have a lucrative business, a lot of people get upset because it's not, oh, I got Instagram, I got followers, but they're not buying. You got to disconnect. You got to figure out what the disconnect is. And at the end of the day, when it's genuine, people would know that it's genuine. And I tell people all the time, if you're going to do something, don't do it for the money.
No, I want to ask
you
this too.
Do it because you love it.
Yes. How do you feel about, I know right now, like, at least for me, I used to be the face of my brand. I still am the face of my brands, but when it comes to my clothing line, it's been able to start transitioning without me being the face of it. I've had a few other models. I just did a collaboration, this really dope marketing campaign we did where there's a girl from Philly. Well, she's from North Carolina, lives in Philly. Her name is Makia. And
She's so gorgeous.
Isn't
oh
she beautiful?
She's
so
deep.
Makia, guys, basically I did this contest where you had to expose your irregular. It's an idea that I talked to Ken about. Shout out to Ken, videographer behind here. You can't see him. But I talked to Ken about this idea like a year ago. Like I got this new showroom space. We have this huge like vanity area. And we got this space just so we could do these exposure irregular campaigns, which is basically women looking in the mirror telling their story. Like I'm talking women with crazy, insane stories from women that are battling depression, women that were molested as children, like women that have defeated so many things and just breaking barriers. So I decided to finally do the first collection. And I was like, you know what? Let's just have our customers put their order numbers on social media. So they were putting their order numbers on our social media posts. We just asked what's their order number. Makia reached out. She DM'd me and she was like, hey, I'm not in LA, but I will fly there for this opportunity. And I'm like, girl, if you can get here, you got it.
Right.
This girl flew here within like 4 days. And I love Makia's story. She's actually a retired basketball player and she's only like 24, 25.
Retired.
Right.
Yes.
Already retired. And she wants to do some things in fashion. She's still figuring out a lot of things, but she has broken so many barriers and been through so much with basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And she told that story. So we made this whole collection around her and we basically just made her the face of the brand. So that's our new thing now. Like we're kind of over this culture of like the influencer. Like we're over the fact that like you have to pay to post. Like again, I just told you guys it's really a pay to play thing.
I tell people all the time, I like regular fly people. You can have 200 followers. If you fly,
That's it.
I don't care if you got a million followers, because that million followers might not bring $1 to me.
Yeah.
It might not bring no traction to me.
Yep.
But if you fly and they watch you, they watch you. Is this one chick on Instagram? Her name is Miss Chris.
Uh-huh.
She's from Delaware.
Okay.
And I love her. I love her down because I sent her a hat off the shrimp because she's fly. Uh-huh. And when I tell you that hat did numbers, It's people to this day send me her picture. Oh my God, I want this hat. There's another chick, I think she's from Baltimore. Her name is Brittany Benton or something.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Britt, yeah. She's from D.C.
Another fly girl, love
fly
her.
Girl.
Off the shrimp. Let me throw you this. Sent it up. So it's like, I love regular fly people. I don't care about your following. If you can dress, you good with me.
Well,
and it's not
what?
Even the design addressing. You can
like if you can be fly,
some Target stuff, Walmart, your grandma's old coat, and you turn it up. That's what I like. That's what drives me up. So.
Man, so my Kia, like her style is like Tiana Taylor. Like she will put on like a jersey. Like I'm talking a football jersey and everything men's attire with like this fly long weave, women's jewelry. Like she just has this play on like masculine feminism, and that's like my whole thing. Yeah, it's a whole balance, and I was like, her style, like our styles are like literally legit married. So no. She comes out here, she kills it. Tell me why yesterday was her launch. We did more numbers with her collab than I think we've seen in a while. Like the past few collabs we did have been amazing, but this one, like I mean, she turned it up. And what's great about it is that it's a blessing, because I wanted to do this collab where we give 10% back to the person that's the face of the brand. So okay. She's getting 10% of each order.
Getting
so
it
it's
bad.
Like the world and our community is now supporting her.
Right.
So with that being said, like how important is, well, you just answered it kind of my question, was how important is influence in your decision making as an entrepreneur and selling your products? But you look at more
well,
so
Well, it's so
style.
Funny. With me, when I started to look, I was going back because I never wanted to be the face. I just always wanted to be that person behind it. And I like it's how Sia is marketed. No one really knows what she looks like, but her music is amazing. She writes all these amazing songs. So it's like with the look, it was more so I was the brand ambassador.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, you work for the look? I'm like, no, I just wear the stuff. They're like, they just give me a bunch of free stuff and I just wear it. Well, the joke's out now. And so for a while, people never met me. It was like, oh, well, Dutch had this on. Like, I seen it on Dutch page. And they would be talking to me or my assistant. So it's like, I never wanted to be the face and I was always behind the scenes. But now it's like, I tried to go the influencer route. But now I just hit up my fly homegirls and homeboys.
Yep.
Like, let's shoot this campaign.
Me
One
too.
Of my homeboys just came out from New York. He shot the fall stuff. My other homegirl, she's here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, let's shoot this. Like, well, let me know what y'all need. Let's get it done. So I like people that you can give them the product and they make it their own.
Yeah.
And not you have to like style them and they all robot and all awkward about it.
And you got to pose for $200. Like,
yeah,
girl,
half the influencers
are not
even fly. So it's like, y'all get a little Fashion Nova piece or a little whatever, pretty little things, and you put it on just to take the picture. But you're not really putting on a look.
Yeah.
You're not putting on pieces. You're putting on a little jersey knit and calling it a day.
Yeah.
So I don't really care for that. I like regular fly people. Like,
me
if you
too.
Fly, whatever. Like when I posted you, that T went up. So it's like little stuff like that is what I appreciate of regular people.
Yeah.
So.
I think that's what matters. At least at this point in my career, like me and my best friend was sitting there one day and I was like, you know, I think I want to get some models. I don't want to be the face no more. Like the brand is doing better. It does better when I'm not the face now, which I was waiting for it to get to that point. When you have a brand, when you don't have to be the model no more. Like I'm retired from regular exposure.
And sometimes I tell people all the times when you're the face of your brand, that hinders you a little bit too.
Oh yeah.
People be like, I don't want to support her because I don't like her. You don't even know me.
Yeah.
Well, that's such and such. And she used to, you don't even know me.
Yeah. But also it can hinder you just because like people, again, like you said, people think they know you.
Yeah. They get too friendly.
And now it becomes a thing where they don't respect the business. Like for me, I have like a team that operates the regular exposure because I'm an actual employee of the Fashionpreneur Academy.
Right.
So people think all day I'm just working at 50 businesses. No, I'm dedicated to one and I have a great team that operates the others.
Right.
So for regular exposure, I have a great brand manager, Lai. She does everything for the brand, customer support. She has an assistant by the name of Amari. We have Linnea that does head of production. She manages all the production of the products. They are so bomb. So with La, like they'll basically DM me and be like, hey, question, what size should I get? Da-da-da. And now I just refer them. Hey, La can help you. Just go ahead and call the store to show her. Like respect the team because they want to help you.
Yeah.
But it becomes a thing where I saw your picture, so you have to help me.
Right.
Or, you know, I felt your energy, so you got to be the person I talk to.
No.
So I'm definitely in a place of like transitioning myself out a little bit. So I love what you said about just giving it to people. And also, I think now I'm doing what you, a little bit of what you were doing. Like, I don't mind telling people, like, oh, yeah, I work for Regular Exposure. Yeah. I work with it. Like, don't worry about it. Like, don't worry about it.
You don't have to know who owns it. You don't have to know.
You don't have to all the time. And I think we're in a place of, like, everybody wants to be the face and they have to give you the background. You don't have to be the CEO.
Yeah, because I tell people all the time, I look at my brand as such as Chanel and Gucci and Fendi. You don't see Karl Lagerfeld.
Yep.
Walking the runway at the Chanel show.
It's not about you. You got to take yourself out of it.
Design it, put it out there, let the people enjoy it, and you go on to the next chapter of the brand. So it's like, I put out the collection. Of course, I'm going to wear it and post and tag it, but I'm not going to be on the site like, oh, I'm the model. And no, I'm
it's
not.
Okay not it's, to do not that. I think whatever works for your brand, though, guys, like, honestly, like, for you, it might work for you to be the face, and that might, you may be the brand. You can have a brand named after yourself. But for me, I know that I want my brand to stand on its own, because I'm not going to be a size 6 for the rest of my life. I'm not going to be the girl that's even wants to be available to be the model. This was something that came out of a place of a need for me being a model. So now I'm at a place where I want to focus on my clients in the academy and let my brand do what it's supposed to do. And I'm just involved as a creative asset and creative director as well. So, like, of course, Lai helps with brand management, and she gives a lot of creative ideas. She came up with the whole concept for Makia's amazing shoot we did last week. Me and Kim was like, when is this day going to be over? It was like an 18-hour shoot day. But it was amazing to see her vision go through, like, morning to day to afternoon to evening. Like, it was beautiful. And to have team members that are that passionate, like, you can have team members that say, oh, I work 9 to 5, so we're done at 5. You know, to have somebody that's like, oh, we got to go till 10:30 because I got to get this last set. Period. That's amazing. So, like, you got to know when to step back. And I think that's part of delegation as well. So where are you with team and growth? I know you mentioned, like, your assistant. How do you feel about building a team?
I'm a little nervous, honestly. Yeah. So the look, we'll be opening our first showroom November 1st, and the crowd goes, wow.
Ooh. In Los Angeles, California. I don't think you understand how major it is to be a black person, a minority, with a showroom in LA. Like, I don't think y'all understand.
A showroom and an apartment.
Listen.
Bills. To be in LA paying bills, okay?
To be a minority in LA.
To do it by yourself. By the strength of God, okay? God, I legit. Good. But so I have one assistant now. She helps me a lot. She does a lot of behind the scenes. She does stuff on. She does the website. She does some of the campaigns. She does some of the posting. So she's really good, but she's also in school, so she's not full time.
Okay.
So, but I will be getting 2 interns, which I'm excited about. Dope, so I'll be starting a small team.
Yeah.
I have a photographer that I work with consistently. The models stay the same unless they moving out or have another job. So I try to keep the same models to keep the consistency. But yeah, I'm excited to start having people report to me and, like, giving them a task. Cause now I used to do everything for the past 2.5 years on my own.
Yeah.
Which is like, I like it because I know if anything goes wrong, it's on my end.
Yeah.
So now it's like, I have to give people that trust to be like, okay, if you mess this up, it's going to be a problem. So don't mess it up.
really?
In real life. But yeah, I'm excited. Cause I always worked in high-end retail. I always had a manager. I was a manager at Tory Burch for a while. So it was like, I had people reporting to me then, but now it's like, now that this is my baby, it's like you're babysitting my child now. Yeah. So it's like, I'm like that parent when the kids go to school the first day. It's like, ugh, like, how I'm gonna feel about this. Yeah. So I'm just like, I'm letting it happen as it go. I'm excited for the showroom. I'm excited for what's to come for the look. We'll be 3 in December. So that's a big,
congrats.
That's a big milestone. But yeah, I'm just excited. Like, I just see how you work with your team, and it's like, okay, like, y'all lit. Then I watch all of my people work with their team. I'm like, y'all get it done.
But y'all don't, I don't think you understand how long it took to find the team.
That's what I'm
like. My turnover was a challenge at first. Like, and it wasn't because, it was more so like, just, I was hiring people that were at a place in their life where they're younger. A lot of my team members were in their 20s at times. I've had, of course, we hire for any level. Like, we've had women that are 65 work with us, but people want to retire. People want to move to other cities. It was like more so life changes.
Yeah. Also, I tell people, your dream is not somebody else's dream. So you can't expect them to have the ambition and the goal and the mindset what you will have for it. So if you feel as though you don't want to be here no more, let me know.
Let me know.
Transition you out and keep it moving.
Let me know. And I think also, like, we have to understand that these people are team members. They're not our family.
Yeah.
They don't owe you anything. They owe you the work that's supposed to be done for those 8 hours that day. Mm-hmm. And that's it. So I think also with building a team, it took me a while. And I had to do a lot of work with myself because I used to have a trust issue where I used to, like, be a micromanager and I would look at everything everyone does all day.
See, I don't want
to
do
and
that.
And you can't do that. And I had to start.
Say, this is what you're doing. When it's done, let me know. I'm going to look at it. But I don't want to watch. I don't want to be over your shoulders. I need to get other stuff done on my end.
Because you as a CEO, I don't think people understand. Like, people think that CEOs don't do anything all day. I work 4 days a week.
We do the most.
Yeah, we do the episode. And I can't even say I work 4 days a week. Every day I do something. Like, every day I have to write back. I have to do an email, something. But as a CEO, my time is put into the growth. So, like, last week, I wasn't in the office at all. I was in financial meetings trying to see about, like, just investment options to grow my businesses. I was at a trade show to connect with and network with people. After that, I was on follow-up calls. Like, I don't think people understand how much it takes. I was in a meeting again with a huge wholesale distributor down here trying to connect about the retreat. Like, I don't think people realize how much goes into the day-to-day once you get to that certain level, and you have to be willing to trust people. So I did a lot of leadership work. So I've read a lot of books to help me grow as a leader. Like, okay, what does a leader do? And if you look at most CEOs that are millionaires and billionaires, y'all, they not micromanaging. They let people do their job. So I had to learn
on the yacht while the team is running the work. Not saying that they're not working, but you have to step away and let the work get done. Now, if they're messing up, that's when you say, okay, now we got a problem. But if you're doing great work, like, go ahead. Yeah. Like, I'm giving you full responsibility to take care of this piece of the project. Yeah. And if you continue to give me great results, I ain't got nothing to say to you.
And I
might promote you.
You might get promoted. And I think also with me, like, I had to learn it. Like, okay, let go. But also, I still sign checks like Oprah. Oprah still signs her own checks to this day, and she's a billionaire. Like, nobody is certain stuff that I'm, like, when it comes to financials, everything goes through me.
Yeah, absolutely.
But of course, like, daily operations, I don't want you to have to call my phone and text my phone all day. Yeah. I want to be able to do what I have to do. And I also want to respect
job,
my time
off. Yeah.
When
I'm not at work, I'm not at work. Don't call me.
Yeah.
If the building's not on fire, you don't call me.
Like, respect my day off.
Don't call me asking me where no papers at, no bags at.
Nothing.
What we ship. Everything is there. Everybody should know how to run the house.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, when I come into work, then that's safe. Wrap me in, and that's going to be that. I don't want to have to call in and worry about the child not doing what y'all supposed to do. So therefore, yeah, but I'm excited for the team that I'm going to potentially grow. I told a bunch of my friends from back home, I said, y'all can just move out here and work with me.
Yeah.
So, y'all hate y'all job anyway. Just come and work for the look.
You know what? My one of my best employees was my best friend when she was my employee for like 4 months. Like, she put so many things in place that we still abide by. So I used to be like super against hiring friends and family. And I still definitely want to make sure that people have certain characteristics within them.
No, for sure.
But yeah, one of my best employees, when I let go of that fear, was definitely my best friend. So I'm not against it at all. But okay, so let me see how much time we got left. What are we looking like? Oh gosh. Okay, so we still got some time. Good. Okay. So I know you got the workspace coming. Black Friday is coming up. Tell me, what can we expect for Black Friday?
Ooh, a campaign, some visuals, some video. Oh, we stepping it up. Every year, I just always look at my life in every aspect to want to step it up and do better than last year. Last year, no lie, by the grace of God, I legit was looking at my phone. I cooked dinner for Thanksgiving, and all of my friends went home, and I was just at home drinking wine, eating pie. And that 12 o'clock hit, I posted that sale. When I tell you that Cash App was going off, I woke up, and I woke up at like 8 o'clock, and I was at like 18K. And I was like, this like, yo, this can't be what I'm seeing. 12 o'clock noon, I was like 30K. 8 o'clock that day, we hit like 44. So to do $50,000 in a day.
Wow.
I'm just like, I legit was in a sense of disbelief. Like, Lord, like, God, you joking me. Like, this ain't
like you and your purpose. Yeah.
I'm just like, I don't know how I'm doing this. I was in a one bedroom studio, not even one bedroom. It was a single. So the space was super small. It was like the trap house. I had a twin bed and it was really, I came out the mud. So Black Friday came. I wasn't expecting to do all of that. It was so crazy. I ran out of product. And so with me, I tell people, I'm going to give you money back. I don't ever want you to think I'm one of those online shops, like, I'm taking your money.
Yeah.
No, I will give you a refund.
Yeah.
And I send out the email. I give them three options. You get a refund. You can switch the color of your hat, or you can wait till the new shipment come in. So everybody said, we're going to wait. Two people asked for a refund.
Wow.
I said, oh, and the refund was like $50 each. So that was $100 that I lost.
Wow.
So at least I'm going to say about 60 people had to wait on the new product to come in. So by the grace of God, this is what I tell people, you have to be consistent and be genuine with the people that rock with you. That was November 27th. The new hat didn't come into Valentine's Day. So when the government did the shutdown, they like held our stuff at customs.
Oh no.
So, and thank God that they were so understanding, like, no, we're going to wait. I'm good. So as soon as it came, I went out the same day. I went playing. I threw in a little coupon with them. I gave them a little surprise. So I was like, just for that alone, I was so grateful to see that people, so many people held me down and say, oh, he took my, he didn't take my money, or he did this, or it was fraud. They legit was like, no, we gonna wait. We gonna wait.
You know, I had that happen last year.
So I was, I'm just blessed for that. So this year I want to do 80K. I want to do 80K.
I love it. Yeah, I don't think people realize Black Friday is like New Year's for the black business.
That's the Mecca.
What? I am so excited. It's October. I'm waiting. I'm counting down because I already know what Black Friday is going to be. And also on top of that.
But also, wait, let me throw this in. Yeah. Also, what I do on Black Friday, I don't want to just be like the one just like, oh, shop with me. I legit pick at least 10 to 15 of my friends and like people that I know with black owned businesses, and I shop with them.
That's dope.
So it's like, I want to give back to them too. Like, we're all in here trying to get it together. So I have a list. Like, if I don't even have to buy it for me, I can just buy it. I just want to support and just be like, okay, we're all in this circle. So I love doing that. So,
oh, Black Friday. When I tell you I'm the black business, like, guru, like, I have like a Rolodex in my phone of just businesses, and we all have to support each other. I think it's very imperative.
Absolutely.
So yeah, my Instagram and my phone is dinging. But like you said, what happened to me last year before we moved to LA, mind you, we're moving. We had a Black Friday sale. We had this new collection that had just dropped, and we did not expect it to grow the way it did. Mm-hmm. So we basically didn't have enough stock ready to ship. So we had to do a big order again with our factory that was still in China. That took 45 days for the stuff to come.
That's what kills me, though.
I was like, 45
days, be like, ugh.
But it taught me so much about preparation now.
Absolutely.
Now we're overstocked.
Oh, now? And this is, I'm getting this is the showroom. So I'm going to have stock. We gonna be in that. As soon as the order drop, it's packed. It's
and that's
being
what
put
we
to
got
the
now.
Side.
Yeah, this whole year we've been having it. Yeah, this whole year we've been on the everything's 100% in stock, never sold out. All inventory is 100% secure online. But yeah, this past year we actually sold out. Everybody had their stuff, but we did another pre-order and we were moving to LA. So everything shipped and it landed in Baltimore the day that we're on the plane to come to LA.
So you had to wait another
week. So now I got to wait another week. So one of my good friends back in Baltimore that used to work for me as well went and shipped every order from Baltimore for me.
Wow.
Like, I don't think y'all realize how much goes into y'all getting this product when we deliver. Like,
no,
it is a lot. So when you are deciding if you want to go the styling route, if you want to go the e-commerce route, no route is easier than the other. You have to really pick based off of what is
Absolutely.
Best for you. So which one, if you had to choose one, do you feel like the look is more of your passion, or do you feel like you love styling more if you had to choose one? Because I have a lot of clients that don't know what they want to do.
See, this is why I tell people all the time, I'm glad that it goes hand in hand, because fashion is with shopping and all of that. Like, I know people that's like, oh, I'm a stylist, but I do makeup and I do this and I'm babysitting, I braid hair. I'd be like, well, what are you good at?
Right.
Like, what
right.
works for you? So it all works for me. I think styling is my, that's easy. Like, I did a shoot yesterday. I got called a couple days ago to book it. The guy that was going to send me some pieces, he didn't overnight it. So I had to wake up and go to the showroom. I pulled at 2 o'clock. The shoe was at 3 o'clock and we slayed it. So it's like, styling is easy to me. I'm getting obsessed with the look because it's something that's like, it makes people happy. Like,
yep.
to see people send me pictures like, oh my God, I love my hat. I did this. I get so many compliments. So to make people feel good in a piece that you produce is like, okay, I'm doing something right. Like, I'm finding my purpose. And it's so crazy. When I first moved to LA, I was in a living situation with my cousin. She put me out and I ended up finding a playlist like the same day.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, I was meant to be in LA with a purpose and I didn't know what the purpose was. So now that I'm doing this, it's like, I'm finding that purpose slowly but surely.
Yeah.
So
what role, like I said, you already know I'm a Christian woman. I love Jesus and everything I do. And I know you have a lot of strong roots. You mentioned your grandmother a few times. I remember one time I had called you and you was like, I'm gonna call you back. I'm gonna phone my grandma. I'm like,
no,
yes,
that's my
I love stuff
no,
like that.
My grandma is my, that's my world. Like, that's my homie.
So what has your grandmother instilled in you, and what role does God play within you, your family, and business?
Well, he's first in everything. Like, if you don't know me, I love the Clark Sisters.
Oh, yes, you do.
Y'all better get into them. I listen to gospel music every day. Like, I listen to gospel music that people listen to, like, hip hop and rap.
Yep.
Like, that's my sanity. And I tell you all the time, that gets me through dealing with these clients. That gets me through dealing with life, gets me through dealing with, like, just little things. Like, gospel, on my way here, I was listening to, I Told the Storm. Like,
yes.
I listen to gospel music. I could be walking to brunch and I'm listening to gospel music. So it's like, my grandma raised me in a sense of be true to myself. Always know who I always been a person. I always been a loud personality.
Yeah.
So I just always been me. Whatever you get is just what you're going to get. Then that's okay with me. You have to deal with that. And yeah, so my grandma always like, we grew up in church. She put us like church was our Sunday thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just put church in everything. I tell people all the time, if you don't have a relationship with God. You don't have to go to church every day, and you don't have to do all that. You have to have a relationship with God. Yeah. You have to understand your purpose in life. You have to understand where you're going, your path. So there's a lot of things that I don't do because of the way I was raised.
Yes.
And the way that I run business and the way that I'm producing my lifestyle. Like, you're not going to see me in the club every weekend.
Yep.
You're not going to see me on Instagram smoking, even though I don't smoke. You're not going to see me doing a lot of things because I always be, I'm running a Beyonce lifestyle.
Yes.
Everything is not going to be put out for you to see. You'll see it when it's done.
And I love what you just said. Like, you have to, when God has blessed you, you have to live differently. Like, mm-hmm. you can't do certain things.
Because
like,
listen, I'm from Inglewood in Chicago, the South Side.
Yeah.
I'm a hood right at heart.
Yeah.
Don't let this hat come off, because I'm really with all of it. You're lucky I can't say, I'm really with the sugar honey iced tea, okay? So at the end of the day, I'm about it, but I have to understand why I'm going in life. I have to let that be put down sometimes. Like, okay, I'm going to let you have this moment.
Yeah.
Because I can't embarrass you. I will. But I'm going to let you have this.
Yeah.
So yeah, you just got to know what's for you and know your purpose. And my grandma, we talk all the time. And she just be like, I'm just so proud of you. Just to hear her say that, I'd be like, I'm doing something right.
You doing something right.
So yeah, that's what drives me and feeds me.
I love it. Okay, so what can we expect for 2020 with you, the look, with Dutch overall?
Consistency. I'm working on a custom hat. Like,
yes.
All made, handmade, custom. We'll be producing that. It's going to be like our signature. So we're working on three styles of that. A team, the showroom. Mm-hmm. More projects, more product, more publications. We just got publicated in a magazine with Boris Kojo.
That's dope.
So I was excited about
that. Oh, I did see that. Yes.
So our little celebrity clientele is building and they're buying.
Good.
Erica Campbell from Mary mm-hmm. bought a hat. Her sister Gugu bought a hat.
That's dope.
Jasmine Sullivan. Who else? Shani O'Neill. So we're growing because
I'm
always
buying. They're not getting free products.
I don't send out anything for free.
Nothing.
And I got hit by a couple celebrities like, oh, well, I can promote. I don't need promotion because I can't tell the landlord that I can promote the rent.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day.
I love it.
No, I'm dead serious. I can't real. It's the first. I'm going to promote the rent. No. He's going to be like, so what a bread.
Exactly.
So yeah, I tell you all the time, man, I respect you more if you buy. And after that, I can probably throw you something after that.
Yep.
Get your first piece free. Yeah. But yeah, 2020, I'm just trying to shake it up. I'm really trying to put the fire under these girls. Like,
yeah.
I'm really trying to shake it up. So I'm excited just to see what I'm going to do, just to see what God going to do.
Oh my gosh.
So at the end of the day.
It's nothing like just sitting back. Like I used to tell people, well, I was just talking about this recently as well. Like, I stopped putting timelines on anything. People mm-hmm. ask me all the time, like, oh, what are you going to do here? Or what's going to happen in next year? Whatever God has planned, because the way he works, you'll be completely left when you thought you were going right. Listen, and it's always better.
Today so, you'll be up, tomorrow you'll be down. So
what?
The
so stay gracious and stay humble. But this was a awesome, awesome, awesome episode. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for coming. You know, I've been watching. I'm like, when I'm going to get my interview?
Nah, right.
Excited for this. Like, this is part of my, like, what I want to do. I want to do more public speaking. I want to do more interviews and more just to be rounded within the fashion industry. I feel there's a lot of women that's mm-hmm. taking over the boutique lane and all of that, but there's not so many men that does it.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's like, if I can be a voice, if I can talk to young black men, young black women, anybody that's entrepreneurship, and I get so passionate about this. I was talking about this all day long. Let me do it. Like, let's talk, let's chat, let's go for it. So I appreciate you. I appreciate your platform. I appreciate the way that you move and how you consistently produce
great things.
And not even just with fashion, but just your energy on social media, how you talk about God and how you talk about just life and your energy in general. Like,
I love that. I love everything about you. I love what you're doing. I love your passion. And they'll be hearing from you and seeing you at the Fashionpreneur Retreat 2020. So we have a lot more to share with you all, but I'm just excited to have you and have you share your story. You shared a lot I didn't know. So I'm just like, I'm blown away.
I got some gems.
Oh, you got some gems in there. Well, they gonna get them.
Y'all better. This is free too.
Well, thank you.
Next time I'm sending an invoice.
Right. He is ridiculous. Well, thank you for being here and having this time and taking your Saturday morning to be here with me.
No,
I appreciate it. I value you. I love everything that you're doing in this industry. I've been watching you for years.
Thank
so
you.
When I saw you at my retreat last year, I was like, is that Dutch? That is the Dutch Davis. So
with the hat on.
With the hat and all, pop locking. So to have you here and, you know, for us to have this amazing relationship now, it's a blessing. So I love everything you're doing.
Thank you.
And we're going to continue to grow and build and help each other. All we do is
absolutely.
Help each other
out
the mud. That's all we do.
If I have a resource, that's to be all the time. If I have a resource,
it's yours.
Hit me. I'm not holding nothing back from nobody.
Nothing.
My lane is my lane. Yours is yours. I ain't got nothing to do with that. So
yes. Therefore,
if you fail, that's on you.
That's on you.
I'm not stopping it or hindering nobody. So yeah,
that's
whatever
it.
I can do, I'm here for it.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you all for listening to entry 9 of the Fashionpreneur Diaries. We will be back soon, but thank you. And we will talk to you all soon.
Gang, gang.